You are listening to the Baby Sleep Answers podcast, the podcast that answers all your baby sleep questions, but it's also just your friend in your ear here to let you know it's normal to struggle, it's normal to have anxiety, and it's normal to want to sleep more.
Good morning or afternoon or evening or middle of the night if you are nursing right now. I am sorry I didn't make a podcast last week. I am very ADHD, and so I have to have things like, okay, every Tuesday I do this, and then whenever something happens on a Tuesday morning and I can't podcast, I just cannot find the time for it the rest of the week. I tried, I promise you I tried, but the first week Joe was super sick, just like terrible, and so I couldn't, and then last week it was just, I don't remember what happened, but I couldn't go on Tuesday. So anyways, I'm back, and today I want to talk about the super duper confusing thing that is time change that I hope goes away, and some countries don't even have to deal with, some states don't even have to deal with. So I guess if you're in Arizona, you can stop listening, because you can just gloat about the fact that you don't have to worry about this. Now, this is the time change that kind of sucks if you're an adult and you're like, okay, well, like, I'm gonna sleep less. So you're waking up, when you woke up at 7, it's really already 7, it's 6 a.m., so you're waking up an extra hour early. So high schoolers do not like this time change. But if your baby's waking up early and you're going to bed too early and you wanted to shift your whole schedule a bit later, this is the time change for you. This is when you can finally be like, oh my gosh, finally something happens that's going to help me, not hurt me, not like the fall one. The fall one sucks. So I want to talk about a few different ways that you can prep for it if you want to. A lot of people just, you know, it's funny, my sister had her babies around this time last year, and so my mom was watching the girls and she had no idea about the time change. So she just put the girls down at the same time and they just woke up at the same time and they just readjusted. And so a lot of families choose to just ignore the time change and just keep doing what they're doing. Now, I do have one person, I remember a few years ago, she reached out in like April and she's like, I don't know what happened. She used to go to sleep every day at 7 and now she is fighting bed for an hour. It's been like this for the past 3 weeks or however long, and I don't know what to do. And I was like, oh, did you adjust to the time change? She's like, no, we didn't adjust to time change. I said, okay, well, the baby didn't know that the time changed. Her body is still on the same 24-hour cycle, right? So baby was falling asleep every night at 7, and it just happened to show 7 on the clock, but then time changed, and now she wasn't tired until the clock showed 8. And so, bam, I just told her to, you know, wake her up earlier every day for a few days, and now she was back to her schedule. So remember, some babies will just adjust to you not doing anything, but most babies, or many babies, I should just say, not most, do need you to be aware of the change. So if you want to prep ahead, it's Tuesday, so we still have time. If you happen to be in the U.S. time change schedule, every day, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, just wake your baby up 15 minutes earlier, make all their naps and bedtime 15 minutes earlier, and then when you wake up on Sunday, you're going to wake up at your regular time. I had someone on, I talked about this on my Instagram, and someone said, but when do I go back to my schedule if I keep waking them up earlier? I don't want to keep waking them up earlier. And I said, no, that's not the case. When you get to Sunday, it will be technically be an hour earlier than you had been doing, but the clock will say the same as it was before. So that's one way to prep. And I have naysayers a lot, like, no, that's not the way it changes. It goes forward. You have to leave them to sleep. I have thought about this so much, you know, and I could be wrong and I possibly am wrong. So be a naysayer if you will, but I think I'm right. That's one way. Another thing you can do is just like over the weekend change, where on Saturday you wake them up half an hour earlier, and then on Sunday you wake them up half an hour earlier, but it actually on the clock is the same time that you used to have. Let me try to say this out loud. It kind of gets confusing when you're talking. It's a lot easier with visuals, so make sure you check my Instagram post on this. But basically, let's say baby's waking up at 7. On Saturday, you can wake him up at 6:30, and then on Sunday, you wake him up again at 7, which technically for their bodies will be 6, and so they might be a little more tired both Saturday and Sundays, and just take it a little easier. Now, let's say you don't want to change anything. You just want to go along with it. You don't care. Be aware that they might not fall asleep for another hour. If you do wake him up at the same time, then you probably won't run into that, but if you're letting them sleep in, their circadian rhythm is not going to kick in until probably 12, 13 hours after they wake up. And so that's when you might run into issues. Since this topic is kind of short, I wanted to add a little bit of something someone asked if I could talk about how to have more independent play with toddlers. And so I wanted to share what works for us. But also, as always, with the caveat or whatever the word is, that it's not going to work for everybody and you have to find what works for you. What works for us with independence playing time is to kind of work on filling their cup and then inching away. So I'll play with my two-year-old, or when she was one-year-old, we'd play and then let her kind of play and kind of inch away, just 1 inch away, a few or 10 centimeters away. Not that 1 inch is 10 centimeters, but I'm just, you know, just move a little bit away. And then eventually you'll be far enough away where she's or he is playing by themselves and you can kind of shift away from the room. And it just depends on who you're playing with, right? If a kid is very, very like spatially aware, they'll notice a lot more when you're moving away and they might ask you to move back. And in that case, this way of playing and inching away and doing your own things might not work. Another thing that my behavior specialist sister suggested for my toddler when I had to go put down my baby is to just set timers. And so we would set a timer and tell him, in 5 minutes, I got to go put your brother down. And then I'll set this timer and in 5 minutes, I'll be back. So they had a visual aid, a visual cue. This doesn't work with everybody. However, my friend, I told her to use timers and she said the kid grew so anxious when he saw timers because he knew that meant separation. And so again, you just have to find something that works. But I think the main idea is that you slowly kind of scaffold. You kind of wean away from being with them 24/7. And that might look like also while you're doing dishes, maybe you set them up next to you with a bucket of water and some, I don't mean a huge bucket of water, but maybe just a little splashy water with some, you know, kitchen utensils. And so you're still getting done what you need to do, but they're starting to do kind of the same thing, parallel play with you and not necessarily you always involved. I do see a lot of moms that get burned out by always playing with their kids. And it doesn't have to be that way. There's nothing wrong if you're enjoying it and you're thriving. But if you feel like you always have to be entertaining your kid, this is your permission to know that that's not the case. Boredom. Well, first of all, boredom is good for kids. It makes them more creative. It allows them to be more independent. But also, they can figure out what to do. And you need to get stuff done. You know, you wouldn't prioritize their not screaming over buying food. So it's very similar to maybe you need to work out. Maybe you need to clean. Maybe you need to talk to a friend and not feel so alone. So kind of shifting your mindset of like, I have to be there for my child. I don't want them to be upset, to, okay, what works for us? How can I help my child know that I'm there, but at the same time, not be there 24/7? Playdates help with this a lot too, because you get to see how other parents handle their kids. When I go to a play date, I usually, you know, they'll stick around my knees a lot when I'm sitting down, but I'll tell them, you know, this is my time to talk to a mom. And if you need me, I'm here, but I'm not going to come and sit with you and read you a book for 2 hours because we're at someone else's house. But that's another thing. You just have to know what your goals are and then slowly work towards them according to your child's personality. So again, you can use my inching method of making sure their cup is filled and then inching a little bit away at a time, a little bit more every time, a little quicker every time they play with them. But if that backfires, you have to find your own method, maybe timers or maybe just doing a lot of parallel play, setting up an activity that's similar to yours right next to them. It really does matter what kind of personality your child is and what kind of personality you have. If you're anxiously inching away from them, they're going to feel like that. And so that might not be for you. Anyways, that was just a quick little tidbit. My experienced parent of three advice on how to help them be independent kids. One more thing, actually, I should add. Get toys that allow them to play by themselves. And you, like, for example, we love magnet tiles. I think anyone that knows me knows we love magnet tiles. But the first few months where a child is learning how to play magnet tiles, you got to be right there with them. I remember my daughter would watch her big brothers build these amazing structures, and so she wanted to do that, but she couldn't because she was one. But so we would help her put two together, put three together, put four together. And then by a year and a half, or almost 2 years, she was already building little blocks by herself. But we did have to put in that effort for a while before she felt confident. And now she builds, you know, she builds houses. She's almost three, guys. But she builds stuff because we fill her cup and sit next to her sometimes and then leave. and then she knows how to do it. Now, a note actually about filling a cup. Sometimes you don't know how empty your child's cup is, and so you might be like, all right, I fill it with them for 5 minutes, they're good. And sometimes it's, you know, I've been playing with you for an hour and you still want me. So it's also about that balance, finding out what they want and finding out how empty your cup is, because you can't pour from an empty cup. All right. I will get on back here next week. I am setting everything up to not fail another week, and I owe you guys 2 podcasts, so I'll figure out how to do that. I am really excited about one guest I've been trying to schedule for a while about baby-led weaning, and hopefully I get her on soon. We just both have extremely busy lives. She has, I think, 3 or 4 daughters. So, and a little life update. I started my master's. I am pursuing a master's in marriage and family therapy. It's been one of my life dreams. You guys know I have lots of life dreams to be a therapist when I'm around 40. And I realized, hey, I'm actually almost 40 if I count how long it takes to be licensed, which is about 7 years. So I started my master's this week, and actually today's my first official day. I've just already done all the homework for the first week and a half. I'm very excited. I'm also feeling a little nervous. I keep reading this books and being like, wow, I really don't know this. You know how you enter something and you're like, what could I possibly not know? And then you start learning and you're like, wow, I'm gonna suck. I don't know how to do this. Therapy is not what I thought it was, and maybe I'm just a horrible, no, I'm just kidding. Anyways, just a little blabbing. Thank you so much for being here. Every week I get, you know, an update of how many listeners I had, and it's just insane to me that there's so many of you out there. I really, really appreciate you. I send you love and prayers, and I hope you have a great night. And if you're doing time change stuff, I hope it goes really well. Again, for any freebies, just go to babysleepanswers.com/podcast.